following interview was conducted with Leslie Hornvik Parr and Susan Houston Fortune for the Purdue University Oral History Program. It took place on Friday, April 20th, 2007, in the Dean's Conference Room. The interviewer was Catherine Marquis, the Oral History Librarian. Welcome. We'll start with you. Tell us a little bit where you were born and grown up and things of that sort.
I'm Leslie.
Okay, yeah.
I was born in Washington, D.C., and grew up 7 years each in Virginia, Ohio, and Georgia. Came to Purdue from Georgia because of the aeronautical engineering. I had written several universities to find out their attitude towards women in engineering, and Purdue was one of the very welcoming ones. I could have gone to Georgia Tech, which was seeking girls because it was the second year that there were women there, but I didn't want to live at home. So I came way, way up here. I'd never been to Indiana before, this far west. And halfway through college, my parents moved back to Virginia. So when I have to say somewhere's home, I say Virginia.
What was, you majored in aeronautics when you were here?
Yes.
And what was the campus like when you were here? And were there any professors that made an impact on you and anything on the organizations that you joined? Do you remember?
campus? I was in Doomy Hall my freshman year, and when walked into Doomy, there's a life-size picture of Amelia Earhart, which blew my mind because I had no idea, even though I thought I knew a lot about her. I didn't realize that Purdue had financed the plane that she was lost in and that she was coming back here to teach after that flight. Mm-hmm. So I knew I was in the right place. Mm-hmm. And then in the spring, I pledged Sigma Kappa Sorority and met Sue. And actually, we had a mutual friend who had told us to look each other up. And we've been best of friends ever since that instant.
Very good. Okay. What was your career path after college? What did you do?
Well, in my senior year, I met a grad student in aeronautical engineering who asked me if I would consider designing babies instead of airplanes. Didn't know whether it was a proposition or proposal, but we were in the student union eating dinner, so I felt a little safe. And anyway, I wound up getting married, and he was a captain in the Air Force, and officers' wives were not allowed to be gainfully employed at that time. And so, end of aeronautical career in that aspect. However, he owned an airplane. I used to claim I married him for his airplane. He's almost 80 years old, and he's still teaching flying. And we fly on vacations various times. We belong to the Commemorative Air Force. We're both colonels but then everybody who belongs is a colonel. And we spend the summer running around going to air shows and raising money for our own wing.
What sort of plane does he have?
Well, we don't have one anymore. His last one was an Aronca Champ. The one I married him for was a Cessna 120. But at the Aero Club, we just rent planes from the club.
Can you tell us where you were born and when you were born? Tell us that.
I was born in Georgetown University Hospital in Washington, D.C. on Valentine's Day, 14th of February in 1937.
Very good.
In the hall.
Okay. Now, let's, Susan, tell us a little bit about where you were born and early life and school and et cetera.
Okay. Well, I was born in Hamilton, Ohio, May 22nd, 1936, and I don't remember much. We moved a lot, and when I asked my dad in later years, you know, why we moved so much, depression. So as I ended up, in Milwaukee, or a suburb of Milwaukee called Wauwatosa. And I started school, and Leslie thinks that we went to first grade together. I don't remember it.
In Morris School in Alexandria, Virginia.
That was one place we lived. We lived in Hamilton, Ohio, Auburn, New York, Alexandria, Virginia. and we lived there when they bombed Pearl Harbor. Then we moved to Milwaukee to take care of my grandmother. And so I went all the way through school there. I graduated from Wauwatosa High School, 1955. And since my dad was a Purdue grad, I was coming to homecoming, and I just fell in love with it from the beginning.
Sure.
And I didn't know, was one of those people that didn't know what they wanted to do, but I was going to college. And so I came down here and took home economics and found something in there. And I ended up in the housing option, which apparently doesn't exist anymore. But I really enjoyed it, you know, designing. We had architecture, and we designed kitchens and that kind of thing, and home management. And I wish I could remember the name of the lady who wrote a book, who was one of our teachers. I can remember contributing something to her.
Mm-hmm.
But she was wonderful. And they built Stone Hall while I was here. And
You lived on campus then until you joined a sorority?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I lived in Sheely Hall to start with. And then I pledged there. And Leslie and I keep being Houston and Hornbeck. We were always alphabetical. That's partly what got us together so much. But
what was the campus like? Was there, and the village? I mean, we were interested
well,
in it.
We could still, you know, walk down State Street, not too far, and the university bookstore looked nice today.
Sure.
Familiar place, but we didn't have to go as far to get to things. You know,
didn't reach down as many blocks, or?
I wouldn't say so. You didn't have that highway at the bottom of the hill.
Oh,
you know?
Way down the foot of State Street,
yeah.
You know, where the river road is.
Yeah.
So now is Wabash,
yeah.
Landing and things of that sort, I see.
I don't remember any of that.
But you had there were streetcars. When
no.
It came up State Street, you didn't have the streetcar?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we did have a streetcar because we could take it over to town.
Okay.
And I was just telling her on our way back that what I remember is the movie house downtown with the Amish carts parked next door in the parking lot at the movies. I don't know if the people were at the movies, but anyway, I remember those. I don't know if that still happens. But we could walk around campus pretty well.
Okay. Did it stretch out? You know, where the airport, of course, was
well,
here when you were here.
Yes, and my classes were out there after the, well, gradually, not my freshman year, but by the senior year, almost everything was out there.
Okay.
And they ran a bus.
Yeah. They do now because Ave Tech is out there, the Ave Tech building, Ave Tech technology. That's where their classes are out there.
Yeah. We were just talking about the ice cream at the food science building. It was right over on the other side of State Street.
Smith Hall.
Yeah, well, I don't remember any name, but anyway, we would go pop in there for ice cream.
Right.
And so I spent most of my time on this end of campus. You know, kind of ended over there at the physics building or
right.
Had some physics.
Right. What traditions, there was of course the football and basketball, did you participate in, did you go to the games and anything of that sort, the athletics?
Well, I went to be in the card section my freshman year, but I really still don't understand football. And the rest of the time I would study during the games and know that my free pass to get in the game would be envied by somebody else.
I couldn't share.
I did go because my dad played football.
When he was at Purdue?
Yeah.
What?
He wasn't very big, but he played football.
And
he lived in the Kappa Sig house.
Uh-huh. Very good.
And
what was your career path after you left college?
It turned out kind of interesting. When I was graduating, it seemed like nobody came looking for kitchen planners, which is what I wanted to do. And so they said, well, why don't you go talk to the Eva Goble with the Extension Service. And so I went and talked to her, and she said, well, you could do Extension. And I said, what's that? I always lived in the city, so I didn't know what 4-H and Extension was, and makes me think of something, the Girl Scouts.
Yes.
Anyway, so we did, so she said, you know, the Home Economics Convention is in Milwaukee this year. Why don't you go and get a job there? And they have job bureaus. So I went, I did. I got a job with Chemstrand at home. I lived at home and I got a job with Chemstrand at the convention. And I interviewed Kansas, Oregon, and some other state. And I didn't want to stay in Wisconsin. This sounds terrible, but I didn't. And then I, after that, we went out to New York State and interviewed. And then I got, it sounds mercenary, but Oregon offered $1,000 a year, more than anybody else. So I decided to go to Oregon. And I've never seen the state. And they were so nice. I went for two interviews to Chicago. They interviewed me at the convention, and then I went to Chicago. So I never saw Oregon until I went out there to work. And I got off the plane, and I didn't even know how to pronounce the names of some of the things out there. And I kind of jot this down, Willamette is, you know, not Willamette River, and things like that. And it was the year of the centennial of Oregon, 1959, and they were, everybody was walking around with beards and having big parties, and then my supervisor took me to Grants Pass, Oregon, 10,000 people, which was a bit of a shocker for me, but they were so friendly, I never got homesick.
What was the name of the company? Was it a company you were going to work for?
No, I went to work for Oregon State University.
Okay. Doing a teaching out there?
Well, the extension, sir.
In the extension.
I was an extension home economist and then with 4-H.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed it for not knowing what I was getting into. And I did it only for 3 years. Then I met my husband during that time.
Out there?
Yeah. And he's a native Oregonian. And then I went, after we got married, we went to grad school at Oregon State for, we got our graduate degree. And then we started taking off with his. he's got a master's in fisheries. So. Then we moved around the state of Oregon.
Oh, so you spent most of your time then in Oregon out there?
Yeah, all of it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's interesting. Okay. Let's talk a little bit now about the Grand Prix. I understand from Tom Pearson that you people were involved in it, so.
Heard more so than me.
Well, tell us a little bit about that. Well, I was in the last class. Engineering class that took the practical subjects of welding, heat treating, casting, those sorts of things, and then it became much more theoretical for the next class. And Mr. Montgomery, Harold Montgomery, was my welding instructor. Got a B in welding and really enjoyed it. That was the freshman year. The senior year, he called me at Sigma Kappa and he said, I would like to enter a women's team in the Grand Prix race. And he said, we'll build the car in my basement, and we'll get a girls' team from Sigma Kappa. And I said, I'm not sure I can find any sisters who will help build a car. Well, we'll recruit some boys to help build it. And actually, apparently, he already had it mostly built himself. And so I recruited some of my sisters, and we practiced hard with this car, with our helmet and our roll bar. And they had set up a practice track over on the Ag campus. And we really took this seriously, and there were Clinton lawnmower engines in the car. And we learned to not hit the brakes when you went around the corner, and then we learned to not take our foot off the gas even, and really got proficient at doing this to the point where during the first heat of the race our little engine said, that's all. there were 48 entries, so they ran two heats of 24 each and then took the top 12 out of each heat to put them together for the third race for the overall winner. And at the time our engine quit, we were so far ahead, even though we didn't complete the race, that we were in the top 12 in our heat. But that was the end of it.
Whereabouts, with the race, where was it held?
In front of Ron the Brick.
In front of the exec building.
And it was a brick U.
Where now is the, that's the engineering mall where the MSW, it's across from
yes.
the Visitors Information Center.
Right.
That's where. Well, when you practiced it, did they have straw
yes.
going around there?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Were there other female entries that particular year as well?
Well, we didn't know it until Tom ferreted it out while working on this.
We
thought we were the only ones.
Oh, okay. Okay. Whereabouts did you practice in the ag camp?
I don't recall.
Was
what
small?
They had. They set this up so you could go over there and do it.
But this was the first year for it.
It was the second year.
Second year. So it
yes.
started in 58?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Now there was a, at that time I understand, was it a grand, it was an auto club? It wasn't the Grand Prix Foundation like they have today. Was there an auto club that sort
well,
of...
Well, there was fellows in the auto club who thought it up, and they... Tom can tell you.
Oh,
did you interview Tom?
No, I haven't.
Well, are you going to?
I may not get a chance this time, but we may do it.
Because he has the first-hand knowledge of
well,
how that all
went. Well, there's a publication, I think, that's coming out. That
yes.
working out, so that would be in,
yes.
in there, I think that
mm-hmm.
would be.
And I would have to just quote to you what I read in that book.
Sure.
In that.
I mean, I told him that I would we would like, the libraries would like a copy of it, and I know that he's been working on that.
But getting back to our time here.
Yes. Right.
I had one trip to Europe through the Girl Scouts in, coming out of high school, so I'd spent that summer in Europe, and the Girl Scouts paid my way from Georgia back to Georgia, everything except souvenirs and film. And so I had to pay back the Girl Scouts by volunteering for 2 years. And so as soon as I arrived, I went to the Girl Scout office and said, I have all these wonderful slides that I took of our chalet, which is, if you know, Girl Scouts. Okay. And
the Girl Scouts here is what you're touching?
Yeah. Yes,
okay.
Yes, in West Lafayette, or in Lafayette.
Right.
And I have a 2-year commitment to share, and I'd love to visit troops and tell them about winning this trip to our chalet, that how they can apply for it, and so forth. And they said, we have a brownie troop that needs a co-leader. And I said, no, I don't want to be a leader. Well, they live right next to the campus. They meet at this woman's home, and it's be really convenient, and she really needs a co-leader. And I knew that you should take training, and I said, well, I don't know that I have time to take training. They said, oh, you know everything. You wouldn't have to take training to do this. So I wound up as her co-leader. Well, then, as soon as I met Sue, well, I had the two, I was with this woman, Amy. She really didn't want to be a leader, and so I grabbed Sue, and we were really two co-leaders. You're supposed to be 21, according to that, to be a leader. And I said, I can't be a leader, I'm not 21. And it was phrased just a little bit shakily that someone could make a judgment and say, you're the leader. So we had a wonderful troop. We moved up grade by grade with them and did a lot of camping. I recall the camp was Sycamore Valley. But since we weren't 21, we had to take adults with us out camping until our senior year when we finally reached the magic age where we could take
them out.
And we had a car. Yeah, I had a car my last year. And they were in, what, eighth grade? By the time we left, was it? Well, I was a senior 9, so I had an extra semester with them, too, I think.
Yeah, they were, well, the parents were so cooperative.
Yes.
And yeah. You meet with them, how large a troop was it?
It's about 16.
Yeah, at least 16. You stayed with them each
yes.
year, so
mm-hmm.
they would stay
yeah.
on there.
Mm-hmm.
Take them on trips and things like that. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Just camping.
Camping
yeah.
out.
I don't remember any other
field
trips.
Mostly just the camping thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's very nice, yeah.
We were both into camping and so
yeah.
the Girl Scouts, too.
Yeah. One question on the Grand Prix. Was there, you're talking about the heats now, today, was there a maximum today? I think they have 33 cars.
that they do. But these heats you had to do with like tryouts, and that's what you were referring to?
No, they just took the whole field and cut it in half because there were too many cars that could race at the same time.
Right, I see.
So that's why.
So they
just had half, two sections, and then took the half of the top half out of
each section, and then they would
for the final race. Yes.
Okay. And was there a celebration afterwards, or did you have anything special going on?
I don't remember anything.
Interesting.
I don't. No, that was it.
Was the weather good that year?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That makes
mm-hmm.
a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and. Going around that oval, you got to watch the straw and things of that sort.
Yes, and if we creamed a straw bale and destroyed it, we'd have to pay for it. That was an incentive to stay on the track.
What was your experience on that? Were you involved? Were you one of a driver too?
Yeah. Yeah. There was five of us,
and you were in the same group then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. When you tried to recruit some people, what kind of reaction did you get from the sorority? Were there a lot of volunteers, or?
Well, Sue was the first one to come with me, of course.
and then
some others surprised me that I didn't think would be interested.
Yeah.
Said, yes, mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like fun.
Yeah. And it was kind of fun. We all had black pants and red shirts. And I guess we had helmets.
We shared one helmet.
We shared one, but we had, you know, that was our team, the red and the black.
The car that was built was pretty well built, and it was
directed.
Dr. Montgomery built it in his home?
Yes.
You're saying? Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. It was a brick surface. I don't know whether it still is. And so a lot of cars, their wheels kind of went like this gradually, and they were out of the race. Others messed with their engines a lot more than we did. Some took off the shrouding, not realizing that an air-cooled engine needs shrouding, or it's going to burn up quickly, and they learned.
Oh, dear.
So we were pretty smart in pretty much leaving it the way Clinton built the engine, and they knew what they were doing.
Were there any other... in that particular race, any other cars that were driven by the women as well?
We just heard about the one woman.
There was one
from Tom that helped. He told us last night that she was helping there was a group of veterans or something that built that.
Oh.
And
veterans from
Korea.
Korea. The Korean veterans. Okay.
Yeah.
Who
we didn't know
also
about
who also had a car?
Apparently.
Yes.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. And then afterwards, did you was the last. Did you participate another year too while you were here?
No, we were gone.
Oh, that we took.
That was our senior year.
Your senior year. Okay. All right. What was tell us any other events that occurred in your sorority? Did you participate in any other kinds of things when you were living on campus?
One thing that I liked was music.
Okay.
We I did the university chorus.
You know, every day, you sing. University sing.
Oh, right. That was a fun time. That was, we would take part in that as a house, you know, and then I can remember people dressing up in the bear. Remember the bear costumes?
Oh.
Anyway.
Oh.
And then we sang a song that went with it. I can't remember, but it was funny. And that just reminded me of something else that, the one thing that I remember about the singing was that one time I got the 3-day measles the weekend they were going to sing in Indianapolis, and the bus went right by the infirmary, and I had to sit there and watch them, and that was a real letdown, because I enjoyed that. They had a lot of people, and we had some wonderful convocations,
yes.
and the musicals, you know, I'm trying to think of the one that seemed like it was about a mama or something. Anyway,
did they have Victory Varieties?
Yeah, Victory Varieties was a riot. You know, we had Bob Hope, and
yes,
Victory like. When I first came here, V Square, that's what their Victory Varieties was on. It was really, really nice.
I had gotten acquainted with them with my father. You know, coming down here with my mom and dad.
Sure. In fact, my brother and sister-in-law could we come for like football games, and we go to Victory Varieties oftentimes either Friday night or Saturday night. You know, but of course they don't have it anymore.
They don't have it anymore.
No, they don't. They don't have V Square. They haven't had it for a long time.
Oh.
But I remember what Bob Hope did come one time. And did you ever have the Metropolitan Opera that came here?
Yes. And Laurel Hurley was a Sigma Kappa. She came and spent the night at the house.
And we had Aida, I remember, and a lot
that's
of students.
That's a wonderful opera.
Yeah.
As background people.
Yeah.
And then, of course, that organ was something else
that's in the music.
Right.
Music hall.
That's right, yeah.
That music hall is really very nice. Mm-hmm. And they use it. Well, of course, that's where they have did they have commencement for you was in the music hall? The Elliott Hall of Music? Is that where you graduated from?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They usually
We had two different ones, you know, morning and afternoon.
Now they run, well, in the spring, that's the largest. So they'll run four. August they have sometimes one and sometimes two. And then they have a December one, too, as well. December probably is two sessions, and they'll run that morning. They'll run it at 9:30 and 2:30. It's very nice. They have it for the December one. It's at the end of finals week, because then there's the break. And so they have it that Sunday, right at the end of the semester, rather than if people... So they get a diploma that it's not filled in because grades aren't due in until a couple of days after it's then sent to them. But it makes it easier because once people leave, they're not going to come back, so they have it that Sunday, the Sunday following finals.
What's interesting is we didn't have finals.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
we had three.
It's a tradition that I hadn't heard.
We had three tests a semester, and that was our grade, the three together.
When I went to get my
the first one was just as important as the last.
Sure, and then they got the average of what was.
Yeah, I liked it better, really, myself. I was prepared in high school for finals. I got down here, and they didn't have them. And then I went to Oregon State, and they did have finals. And they had quarters. And we were used to semesters. And the other thing was we had a six-point system for grades, and they had four. So when I changed schools, they had to convert all my grades.
Sure, right.
Then we were talking
the other 3-point now.
Yeah, it was on the four. It was on the six. It's on the 4-point, I think it is.
Yeah.
Right.
The other thing that we were just talking about was the fact that we didn't have to stand in line for a certain teacher.
Yes.
You know, we just went to our major professor and signed up for whatever we were going to do.
And then we had the computer was a huge. Big thing.
Like the UNIVAC.
With the IBM punch cards. And all our classes were assigned with punch cards. And our sorority rush was done with punch cards, too.
Interesting, yeah.
It was so much easier than, you know, when I went to grad school and had this. Luckily, in grad school, you're not in such a crowd. You know, a stand in line to get some teacher.
That's interesting. They didn't have finals. Did you do term papers? They did term papers, but you didn't have finals. There was no final exam.
We didn't do much in the line of term papers. Term papers either.
Huh. Finals is, next week is what they call dead week. It's no exams can be given and things of that sort. It's sort of a wrap-up. And then the first week in May is final exams.
Really?
And it runs through that. Yeah.
That's
so
a real switch.
Yeah.
And the calendar year is different now. We started about like the third week in September.
Right.
And the semester ended the end of January.
Right.
And we graduated
Memorial Day.
Yeah, we had a break from Memorial Day to come back for
graduation. They changed the calendar some years ago. Now, did you have a fall or spring break?
Easter break.
Easter vacation.
Oh, Easter vacation. Okay.
Yes. That was a week long.
Yeah, well, they have spring break, and then in the fall, we have fall break, and that's 2 days. They have 2 days off. Usually it's in October. And then it's usually a Monday and a Tuesday in order to make up. Then the Thanksgiving break is Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. There's no classes on Wednesday, but there's classes on Monday and Tuesday to average it out for the Monday and Tuesday that was for fall breaks. It all averages out, you know.
Oh.
All right.
so.
Interesting. What traditions do you recall when you were here?
Well, another one that just came to my mind was we had a mock political convention.
Oh, yes.
That was the first time I'd ever stayed up all night. And our house was running Eisenhower for president.
We had Stassen.
Oh, I guess maybe it was the dorm.
Yeah, the dorm.
Okay,
yes,
anyway.
Okay.
When we were in the Coliseum, I guess. I mean, a mob scene, you know, but it was so much fun.
Oh, I bet.
I can still remember the song, you know. We were watching, Eisenhower won, but we were running Harriman for president. Harriman. Anyway, that was one of my things that I remember that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
In Georgia, the voting age at that time was lower than most of the rest of the country. So I was eligible to vote nationally that freshman year. There was some office that was prepared for that here that I had to go into, and they had my absentee ballot for me to
fill out. Yeah, right. Have either of you participated in the Alumni Association at the local level where you're from since you graduated, or?
I have not. I send them money, but there isn't anything local.
Uh-huh.
But I
so
don't keep
the
up
Purdue
with
clubs
them.
That, you know,
yes, well,
and you get the
one in Omaha contacts me at least once a year.
Sure, right.
And I say, no, thank you.
I'm too far.
But I know there are other Purdue grads. We actually, in our university women group, we have two other gals.
Uh-huh.
One's from Indianapolis campus, and the other one didn't go here long. I haven't met many people from Purdue since I've been out there.
Okay.
One thing I find interesting, though, is married to a military man. We moved around, and I have never sent a change of address or anything, and yet Purdue has followed me across the country and back into Germany and back.
They can track things. They're pretty good on that. Well, when you were here, then President Kennedy was the president. Okay, and then of course we've had some others. So that and they changed. They named the hall Humpty Hall, as you know, which is what the fountain that was in front of the executive building, which is now Humpty Hall, is moved over to Academy Park, which is behind Matthews Hall over on campus.
Now where's Matthews?
Matthews is behind Stone. And you know, the university is still along with the cupola. And then just right, the cupola that's over there, and just right over in there is where Academy Park is. Mm-hmm. So the low fountain.
Okay, that's where the lion was?
Yes, the low fountain is now in Academy, is over there in Founders Park.
We were wondering what happened, what's the status of University Hall? Are they still making use of it?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, believe it or not, a couple of years ago there was a bad storm, an electrical storm, and they had to take the cupola down and repair it. I mean, it just really did it. But they use it.
Oh.
One of the problems is that there's no elevator in there, but they have air conditioned it. So they still use it for history.
Great.
Oh, yeah. So it is the oldest building on campus, you know. And
I mean, I had several English classes in there.
Yeah, right.
And that lion, there was a tradition that if you were a virgin, the lion would roar when you walked by. So we all walked by going,
The Reamers have brought that back to life, and it now does the water. So they've been not working for a long time, but they did that, you know. Yeah, I know those traditions.
The Reamers makes me think about...
that's the Boilermaker, you know, the Boilermaker special. They drive the Reamers to do that, yeah.
I knew some of them. We had gold cords. Do they do anything with that anymore?
They tried a couple of years ago to bring the cords back, but it just never got. I remember the cords. I mean, I've seen occasionally at a game, I'll see somebody with wearing the cords. You know, in fact, a student that worked for me a couple of years ago, she made her own and looked really good, and she put the engine right back here, so when she walks, she waddles, the engine moves.
I didn't think about bringing my cords.
Yeah, we both still have our skirts. Would you have any interest in that?
I say maybe Sammy would be interested in those. It's up to you. I will give you her name, and you can touch base with her.
I would like that, because my kids aren't going to be interested in that.
As a matter of fact, we got one a couple years ago when I was in the archives, and this person said, maybe you can fit in. I said, I don't think I'm not sure whether I could or not.
creative. I mean, there were a lot of people were did by died by hand and things that
they all were.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, both of you: what is one of your longest memories of Purdue? Can you think of one?
Well, I think the most favorable memory actually is the race.
Okay.
Is that Grand Prix race, because in engineering, I didn't have a lot of time to do a lot of other things. My freshman year, I joined the orchestra and decided that was taking too much time, that I just couldn't afford that much time for it. And I did enjoy the congregations.
Sure.
Those things, but we were laughing about, talking about last night. I dated people to, just so that, but it was platonic, because I'm going to be a Girl Scout. I'm going to be an engineer, and I'm never going to get married, and so on. And my senior year, I had Paul, who liked all the opera and that sort of thing, and that's the only thing we did. We just went to cultural events, but that was our dating, really the extent of our dating. And then I met Gordon in class, and we stood out because he came as a grad student, but his degree was from West Point Military Academy, which was sort of civil mechanical. So he didn't really have an aeronautical background, so they put him in a bunch of senior classes. And we're the only two in class without a beard, because the senior boys all grew beards until the football team won the first game. And so we kind of stood out and got to know each other that way. And so this was my buffer zone from that I had two boyfriends, so I'm not getting serious. And the sorority was always honest to, you know, you really should be engaged by the time you graduate, and so on. We had to eat the lemon because we weren't engaged. And but it kept the sorority sisters off my back, too. But the day of the, all of a sudden somebody said, what are you going to do the day of the race? And I was like, how am I going to introduce them? But we were all out there at the airport, which isn't all that big, so we managed all three to come together at the same point. And it turned out the two of them knew each other already. They just didn't know they were dating the same girl. But and then Gordon and I just went flying or studied on all our dates. So I
What about you? What's your favorite memory?
Well, actually, one of my favorite memories, I was a member of the Student Religious Council. And I've just met the nicest kids all over, you know, from different churches. And we used to divide up all the cards, which I doubt if they even ask people what church they went to anymore. But we knew what church everybody went to, and we divided up these cards, and we had these groups with, and then just a part of that, and then my own group. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just, I met some nice people and went to the different foundations, that they call them at
right,
that time,
exactly,
around town.
Right.
Around the campus and did that kind of thing, and that kept me busy.
Yeah.
That reminds me, I was active in Canterbury Club.
What sort of club?
That's the Episcopal.
Oh, I see. It was one of the clubs that.
They have a lot of. There were four of us there that played bridge every Sunday afternoon for an hour or so. We made dinner there too. Because dinner was not served in the dorms or sorority on Sunday night.
Oh, you're bringing back
that. But one of the foursome was blind, and he'd been blinded in the Korean War. And so we played with
this
cards.
Is a man or a woman?
Man.
Okay.
In fact, his wife was one of the other two. And so we played with the Braille cards. Well, you got so you could read the Braille with your eyes. So we were always kind of trying to avert our eyes that we not look at anybody else's hand. You know, focus on your own.
Right. Yeah.
And it was lots of fun.
What was Lafayette like? Was there much activity down there in the city in Lafayette? Did you get down there very often?
The Episcopal Church was over in Lafayette, and I was thinking, how did I get there? I know. Well, we did.
It was very. They used to have the streetcars. I've seen pictures of that, or maybe some.
Or maybe we went to Canterbury House and people with cars drove it.
Yeah, we had some of that. It didn't seem to go as far, you know, beyond the center.
And when you went over the bridge to Lafayette,
right.
The courthouse.
Yeah, and then our church started out over there, too, and then they built a new one over here.
Okay.
That's a Christian Science church.
Okay.
They built one on this side of campus.
Yeah.
And then they let us meet there, so that was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, the going over there to the theater, and then we did shop down there a bit, too. There was some nice department store.
Maybe was Lowe's there? Lowe's was there, that department store. Of course, that's been, there's some small stores down, but there's no department store.
It didn't
store.
Look quite as great today when we came by as it used to me.
It's changed a lot over
but
time.
The courthouse looked very nice.
Yes,
like
right.
It's been all cleaned up.
Right. And now there's the mall, so there's Tippecanoe Mall on the far side out there. People go out to the mall.
Oh.
There's several big malls that have been built up.
Yeah.
The Market Square is still there. In summary, any closing comments you'd like to say?
Well, it's really nice to see what it looks like now. I mean, I've been reading the alumnus, every year,
Did you ever come back for any games after you left at all?
No.
But you follow us. We made the bowls. Finally. We're on national TV.
Yeah.
Any final thing you'd like to say or think of anything?
No, I didn't think of anything. No, I don't either. I was glad that I transferred out of something else and decided to come to do this week.
Good.
Come
back
and
that's nice.
See
yeah.
what, because sure. Tom, I said I wasn't coming, and Sue did too, and he called me up and talked me into coming, and then I had to talk my husband into coming with me, and
he as well?
No.
Oh.
But we made reservations for two. And then Sue called and said, I've changed my mind. I'd like to come. And Gordon said, oh, good.
Oh, good. Okay. All right.